Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah, 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof. Before we begin the text, we glance in the margin where we have our nosei, our topic heading, which reads Metzias Shtoros Shoinim, finding different documents B'mekoymos uv'matzovim shoinim, different locations or in different situations. What do we do by way of return? The Mishnah. Motza Igros Shum. Igros Shum is a reference to documents where the court evaluated, assessed the property value of a lova, of a borrower, in expectation of that property being used to pay off debts to a malva, to a lender. So igros shum are documents that account for the court assessment of the lova properties. The igros mazai, that's a document that indicates a husband indicated upon marrying a woman with a who already had a daughter that he would support her daughter. Shtore chalitza umiunin, these are documents that indicate chalitza, the release of the Yevoma from her levirate bond to her brother-in-law, a document that indicates the shoe removal ceremony took place, thereby releasing her. Miunin is a document that indicates a minor woman, a girl, who had been married in a rabbinic marriage to by her mother or brother to a particular man. Before she reaches adulthood, she has the option of backing out of the marriage without the need for a divorce, and rejection is called mi'un. So this is a document that indicates she was mima'enes. And that will, of course, enable her to marry someone else. Ushtore birurin, that the Gemara will deal with. V'chol ma'isa bezdin, and all other court documents. Hare ze yachzir. We've dealt with this phrase, Chol Ma'isa Bezdin, in previous Gemaras. Motza, a person found any document, b'chafisa b'deluskema, in these kind of vessels. What did he find in the vessels? Any document. Or tachrich shtoros, or agudish shtoros, or shtoros, documents that were folded one upon the other or tied together. The Gemara will deal with these different terms, chafisa, dluskmo, tachrich, and aguda, so we'll wait for further explanations in the Gemara. Hare ze yachsir. If a person can give identification marks of these situations, claiming these are my documents, you found them in a specific chafisa, dluskmor, etc., then they are returned. The owner offering a simon, a sign of identification mark regarding the vessel, is grounds for his claim of ownership. V'kamo aguda shel shtoros, the term aguda shel shtoros, which was mentioned in the Mishnah a moment ago, a bundle of shtaros. How many is a bundle of shtaros? Shlosha kshurin zebozeh, three documents tied together. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, echad haloive mishlosha. If you find three documents with the same borrower name in it, who a person who borrowed from three different lenders, yachsu lelove. You would give them to the love. That's an indication that he certainly paid them off, and they returned to the borrower the bill of collection. And the documents fell from him, from the borrower, after he already paid back his debts. It's unreasonable to assume that from three different lenders they all fell together into one spot. And likewise in the opposite, shloisha halovin min echad. If you see one lender name and three shtoros indicating three different borrowers, yachsu l'malva, you would give them back to the malva, to the lender, and he would thereby be able to proceed to collect those documents. The fact that there's only one lender and three different borrowers, that's an indication that it fell from the lender, documents indicating debts that he still has, still outstanding debts that he has a right to collect. Motza shtar bein shtaroso ve'eno yodea ma tivoi. A person found a document amongst his documents, and he doesn't know what the status of these documents are. Is it a document that a borrower entrusted by him, or a lender entrusted by him, or maybe it's a document that was partially paid off and it was entrusted to this fellow in the interim for awaiting full payment. So what should such a person do? Yehei munach ad shiyavo elyo. It shall remain in his possession, not give it to either party, and let it wait until Elijah the prophet comes, until he comes to clarify. Now, this is a separate statement as far as Rashi is concerned. Im yesh imohem symphonos, yase mashi sheba symphonos. Let's look at Rashi together. Im yesh imohem symphon, mili mili kotoni. Separate points of information are taught. In other words, this is a separate point of information from that which appeared immediately before it. Hamotzi ben shtarosov shovar shenichtav al echod mishtarosov. The person finds a receipt that was written in response to one of his documents. Yasim ashev simfon. Simfon is a receipt. Vashtar b'cheskas puron. That document is considered as if the debt contained therein was already paid off. Valfapi shohoya l'shovra ze liois munach biad halove. Even though the receipt should have been in the hands of the borrower, after a borrower pays off his debt, he holds on to the receipt. Why are we then saying that even though it's in the hands now of the lender, is that debt considered paid off? Amrinon, we figure haminoi haloive, the love entrusted this, or trusted the malve. Yomar mocher tenali, give it to me tomorrow. Give me my receipt tomorrow. V'shochach, and the lender forgot, or the borrower forgot to give it to the borrower forgot to request it on the next day. We turn now to the Gemara. My shtore birurin. We saw on the second line of the Mishnah, we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where this was found in the Mishnah. What is meant by shtore birurin, that expression? So there, we'll see in the Gemara two pshatim. Hocha targumu shtore tanosa. Here, it was explained as documents that contain in it the different claims made by litigants in a court controversy. Tanosa, the tainus, the various claims that each party made. Rabbi Yirmiya Omar, ze bor lo echad, veze bor lo echad. This is a reference to a court being formed. The two, disagreeing parties come together, and they have to choose a court for Dine Momentus, a court of three. So we'll say you have a lender and a borrower arguing over the debt, whether it's still outstanding, and the lender appoints one man as a judge, the borrower appoints a second man as a judge, and between the two of them, a third judge is chosen. So that when these choices are made, they're recorded in a document, and you cannot back out. They can't back out from that. That's why this document is written up, as Rashi says. In general, Rashi pointed out in his commentary on the Mishnah that these documents can be returned because you're dealing with documents that don't represent a means of collection. For example, the appointing of judges. So there's the document that reflects who was chosen as a judge doesn't involve any collection of money. Court evaluations of property. Again, it records how much the property was evaluated, but it doesn't represent a document through which you collect money or collect something of value. And same applies to the other shtoros enumerated at the beginning of the Mishnah. The whole Maisa Beis and Hareze Yachzir that we saw quoted in our Mishnah. And at this point, we have a few lines of Gemara that are essentially word-for-word review of the Gemara we saw very recently back on Daf Yud Ches. Hahu Gita Dishtakach Beidino Deravuna. There was a divorce document, a get, that was being conveyed by a shaliach, by an agent, and it was found in the court of Rav Huna, and the agent was claiming that's the get I was charged with conveying. Dave kosev bay bishviri moso da'al rochis naro. And in the get it was recorded that it was written in a town called Shviri on the banks of the river Rochis. Omar Rav Huna, according to the notes on the side of the Gemara Maseches Gittin Daf Chof Zayin Omer Aleph, recommends looking at Thesis in Bava Basra Daf Kufay Beis Omer Beis Dibur Hamasul Minoch. This word Omar is essentially a question, meaning Rav Huna asked. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna asked, as far as returning this get to the agent, shall we return it to the agent? Or maybe Chayshinon Lishnei Shviri. We should maybe raise as a suspicion that there's another town called Shviri in which there's a couple with the same names as found in this agent, in this get that we just found. So that we should not return it, the found get, to the agent because it doesn't come from the get is not the get that was given to the agent. It fell from someone else who came from that other Shviri with the couple with the same name as we see here in the shtar. And this shtar, this get, is really from there, and it's not the get that the agent was charged with conveying. So that was Rav Huna's question. Should we raise as a suspicion that maybe there's another town with the same name, and there are couples, two people with the same name. In the town that the agent is coming from, Shviri, that the agent is coming from, we know that there is no other couple in that town with the same name. But maybe there's another town, Shviri, with two people, man and woman, wife and husband, with the same names. Omar le Rav Chisda le Rabba, poik ayin, go out and check into this. De le urta boy lo Rav Huna minoch, because in the evening Rav Huna is going to ask it of you. Nofak dok v'ashkach Rabba went out and researched the matter and found Disnan. He found our Mishnah. It says kol ma'isa beizdin hare ze yachzir. Court documents, you return. That since in this town Shviri that the agent is coming from, there isn't another couple with the same names. We don't suspect that maybe there's another town that has in it a couple with the same names. Omar le Rav Amram le Rabba, Heichi Poshit Mor, how can you resolve Isura, the realm of what we'll call ritual law? Isura is specifically the case of the get, a divorce. A divorce is not in and of itself an issue of finance. It's a matter of isur, that which is permitted, that which is prohibited. Mi mamona, from the realm referred to in the Mishnah, which is mamon, money matters. In other words, you might find leniency in the realm of money matters that you wouldn't find in the realm of isur, in our case, in the realm of get. So that even though a financial document, we can say, let it be returned to the party concerned, not so in the case of get, where you might be responsible for a wrongful divorce of a woman. Amar le Rabba, says to Rav Amram, Tarda. Tarda is an expression that is not complimentary. Rashi says Mishuamam. An expression of, we'll say, of maybe we'll classify it as of insult. Foolish one, deranged one. How can you ask on my answer? How can you raise that question? Shtori chalitzu miyunin tanan. In our Mishnah, you have documents that are not in the mamon realm. You have documents that are also in the realm of marriage and divorce and isur v'heter. In our Mishnah, you see the reference to shtori chalitza miyunin. Chalitza is the process, the ritual or procedure whereby a yevama is released and allowed to marry other people, other men, other than the brother-in-law. Miunin releases the minor from her rabbinic marriage. And our Mishnah deals, therefore, with shtaros that are beyond mamon. So how can you ask on me? At this point, poka arza de beirav, the beam that supported the ceiling of the base medrash, broke, split. Moromar mishum lasoi didi poka. Moromar mishum lasoi didi poka. Rav Amram and Rabba, each one was arguing that the reason for the beam of the base medrash breaking was because of lasoi didi. Lasoi means my mazel. Rashi explains a little further. Rav Amram claimed it broke because you insulted me, and Rabba claimed it broke because you had the audacity of questioning my psak and causing me embarrassment in public. Motzo b'chafisa b'deluskuma. My chafisa, our Mishnah made reference to vessels that the owner could identify in which various documents were found, and will return the documents based on the identification marks provided by the owner of the vessel. So what's a chafisa? Omar Rabba bar Barchana, chemas ketana. Chemas is a vessel made of leather that's used, a small leather vessel. It's used for holding wine. My deluskema, the other vessel mentioned in the Mishnah, what is that? Omar Rabba bar Shmuel, tlika de savi. It's a basket that elderly people use for storing various useful utensils so that they shouldn't have to seek out, search for them. So our Mishnah mentioned if a get was found in one of these vessels, and the owner can offer identification marks on the vessel, he will get the vessel with the shtoros that were contained therein. Tachrich shel shtoros or agudah shel shtoros v'chulei. Tonu rabbanan. We've highlighted with a diamond the words tachrich and agudah. Kama hu tachrich. We should point out that when we're dealing with tachrich and aguda, we're dealing with identification marks, means of description of the found documents that when the owner offers this description of how the shtoros were, in what state or in what form the shtoros were found, that will entitle him to receive them from the finder. So our Mishnah mentioned, if one found a tachrich of shtoros or an aguda of shtoros, that can serve as a means of return to the owner. What do we mean by a tachrich, which you could translate a roll of documents, an aguda, a bundle of documents? So our Braisa asks, how many kama hu tachrich shel shtoros? Numerically, how many documents would make up a tachrich, a roll of shtoros? Answer: shloisha kruchin ze boze. Three documents rolled one with the other. Rashi, a few lines up from here, says kruchin ze boze, three rolled together. Vizel simin shabaylim noisnim bohem. This will be the sign that the owner gives. Ze yachriz mitzia shtoros matzasi. The finder would announce, I found documents. Vizel yomar, the owner will say, sheli heim, they are mine. Ushloisha hein, there were three. Kruchin hein ze boze, rolled one with the other. Let's continue in the Braisa. V'kamo hi aguda shel shtoros. How many constitutes a bundle of shtoros? Answer: shlosha kshurin ze boze. Three that are tied one with the other. Let us assume for a moment that the scenario that would unfold is someone would announce, "I found shtoros," and the owner would say, you found three tied together. The Gemara asks, Shamis Mino, should we conclude from this source, Kesher Simon, that the style of the knot, the type of knot, there are different kinds of knots that exist. People who may have been part of the Boy Scouts would be quite familiar with this. There are many different kinds of knots that that organization teaches its adherents. Should we conclude from here that the knot serves as an identification mark? And Rashi points out that this issue of Kesher Simon is a question that is raised in other places, and it is really a question that hasn't been resolved. Maybe from here we should resolve that that offering a description of the knot would, yes, constitute an identification mark based on which we could return things. Before continuing the Gemara, to appreciate this line a little more, let's look at Rashi. Shema mino, or Shamis mino, should we conclude Kesher Simon? Rashi continues, Shiesh ksharim, sheinon doimim ze lozeh. There are different kinds of knots. V'yoymar, and the owner would say, kach v'kach hu osui. The documents you found were tied together in this and this kind of knot, a specific kind of knot. The e lo temahochi, if you don't say that, namely that the knot is the identification mark, my simona ika hocha, what identification mark is there in saying that you found the three shtaros tied together? The tifshot mina, and by concluding thusly, we would conclude in general, bialmo, the kesher simon, ubaya bialmo, it's a general question. Umishani, and the Gemara here will reject this. Hacha, mehacha lo tifshot. From here, we shall not draw that conclusion that the type of knot, the description of the knot, can serve as an identification mark. The Tani Rebchia, we'll see this shortly in the Gemara. Rebchia teaches, Gimel Kruchin Ze Boze Hu Aguda, that three documents rolled together is an aguda. The Kerachavi Simon, the rolling together, the way the shtoros were found rolled together, is the identification mark. the kulei alma, and how does rolling together serve as an it something unique that we can conclude thereby it's yours, the documents are yours. The kulei alma karchi shtora shtora liatzmo v'kishin oison yachad v'zeh korach shloshten yachad. In general, the general practice was to roll shtoros independent of one another, and then to take the separate rolled shtoros and tie them together. And here, according to Reb Chiya, that we haven't learned in the Gemara yet, but here he rolled the three together. So now let's turn back to the Gemara text. The question that we're dealing with is, shall we conclude from this Tanaic source that the style of knot can serve as a simon, as an identification mark offered by an owner and thereby get the item in return? The Gemara says, no, we're not going to conclude that from here. Ha, Tani Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya explained, and now here the Gemara is very abbreviated. That's why we read the Rashi a moment ago. Between the lines, we added, Reb Chiya teaches an aguda is shloisha kruchin ze boze. An aguda are three shtaros that are rolled together. In other words, according to Reb Chiya, there's no reference to tying. So there's no basis of drawing a conclusion that we can use kesher as a simon. There's no reference here at all to tying. So Mora asks, well then, if an aguda is shloisha kruchin ze boze, yihachi hainu tachrich. The Reisha already made reference to shtaros rolled together. This source would be then repetitive or redundant. The Gemara says no. The tachrich is kol chad v'chad b'roisha dechavrei. The bottom of the end of one shtar is put next to the beginning of the next shtar, and we'll say end to end, and so that they're lined, the shtaros are laid down end to end, and they start rolling them up in that fashion. That's what a tachrich is. Aguda is the ramu ahadodi. Each shtar is placed upon the other shtar. Ukruchos my machris. The one who finds rolled shtaros, the finder, what does he announce? So the Gemara answers stage one, minyan. He would announce, I found a particular number of shtaros, and the owner would come and say, you found them rolled together in one of the ways we just described. The Gemara asks if minyan, the number, is if the finder would announce the number, and you would have to identify how they were how they appeared with one another. My iria tlosa. Why does the source speak about three shtaros? The Mishnah spoke as well about three shtaros. What's the significance of three? If the finder is going to already announce at the outset the number, afilu train nami, even if they were two. Rashi says, minyan gimel shtaros. The finder would say, "I found three shtaros." V'zebav v'noisein simon. And the owner would come and give as a sign that they were rolled together. The Gemara then asks, and we continue with the Rashi, afilu treinami, hayo v'ein tzorach lebailim losei simen elekrichosan, since what's expected of the owner is only the rolling as the identification mark, not the number. So why does the Mishnah and the Braisa speak about three? The Gemara responds, Ella, rather, in response to the question of what is announced by the finder, Ella Kedoma Ravina Tiva Machris. Ravina speaks in a different context, one who finds coins. Tivar coins. Hachonami, in the same spirit of things, Here too, shtori machriz. The finder would simply say, I found documents. And not, he wouldn't make mention of the number. The owner would have to come forth with the number and also how they were rolled. As far as the number three is concerned, only that three and above would be something that could be used as an identification mark. After all, the finder said, I found shtoros. He used a plural. The plural itself means a minimum of two. So by saying two, you're not revealing to us something that only you as the owner would know. The announcer already gave that away, that there are at least two. So that's the significance of the number three in the Tanaic sources, which is the, we'll call it the first number beyond two that would indicate you are the owner, be a revealing sign to the finder that you're the owner. So the just to repeat, the owner would come forth with the number. He would say, you found three or some four, some other number, shtaros, and that they were rolled together. We mentioned before that when saying they were rolled together, you would be expected to distinguish what, how were they rolled. Were they one placed one on top of the other and rolled together thusly, or were they laid out one one edge to the next one's edge and then rolled together? Rav Shimon Gamliel, Echad Haloiva Mishloisha Yachzu Laloiva. If you found one borrower's name in three documents with three different lenders' names, these three bills of collection obviously fell from the borrower, and hence it's an indication that the debt had already been paid up. If you were to think that these three documents fell from the malvin, from three different malvin, three different lenders, my bo gabi adodi, how would you have three different lenders' bills of collection lying together in one spot? Therefore, we conclude that it fell from the borrower. It was one borrower's name in the three different shtaros. The Gemara says, why do you give it back with certainty to the lender, to the borrower? Dilma, and by giving it to the borrower, of course, you're saying that the debt has already been paid up. Dilma lekiyu minhu azli, maybe it really fell from the malvim, the lenders who went to verify the shtar. And so the three malvin came to the court with the intention of having it verified, and that's how you found the three together. The Gemara says what was found is the mekaimi. You found, the Mishnah was describing, three mekuyim shtaros, three shtaros that were already verified. The Gemara asks, v'dilmo miyoda de safra nofil? Maybe the three shtaros fell from the the possession of the sofer, of the scribe, and not from the love. So how is it that you're returning all three to the borrower? Maybe the loan is still outstanding and they fell from the scribe. All three lenders went to the same scribe, so it's reasonable that they fell together. Even though, and here you have an alternative explanation to them having fallen from the borrower. The Gemara says, "Lo mashi inish kume biyoda de safra." People do not leave their verified documents in the possession of the sofer. They wouldn't have been left by him. The verification would be recorded and immediately taken from there. So if you have the sofer possibility is ruled out, and the fact that they have three different lenders' names and one borrower's name, that's why we give it to the borrower. Shloisha shelavu me'achod yachzir lemalve. If you found three different shtaros, three different borrowers' names with one lender's name, you give them back to the lender, enabling him to thereby collect with them, to collect the debts. The Isagadait of the Lovin Ninhu, if you were to think that these shtars fell from the borrowers and that they're not current anymore, my boy Gabi Adodi, how can you explain three different borrowers' names and their shtars lying together in the same spot? The Gemara says, who says that it necessarily fell from the lender? Dilma lemichtavinu azli. Maybe three borrowers went to a sofer to have them have shtoros written up in anticipation of their borrowing money, and that the shtoros, these documents, fell from the sofer, but the loan hasn't been taken out yet. The Gemara says, "Diksivi betras yodi safri." You can see three different handwritings, so it didn't fall. The three didn't fall from one sofer. The Dilma Likiu Minu Asli, maybe the borrowers went to have the documents verified, and they didn't fall from the Malve. The Gemara says, Malve Mekayim Shtore Lova, Lo Mekayim Shtore. The Malve, the lender, is the one who would go to have a document verified, have it, let's say, receive court approval, so that he can use it to collect his debt. Borrowers aren't interested in establishing and verifying a bill of collection that only serves to their own loss. Im yesh imoyen symphonos, yase mashes shiva symphonos. If there is a symphone there, which we said is a shovar, a receipt, indicating that a particular document was paid up already, so you follow that, you follow the receipt. On the side of the more, we have a nosei topic heading which reads Simfon Hayotse Mitachas Yidei Hamalve. If your Birme Baraba Ein Lo Mashmos, a lender has in his possession a receipt. According to Birme Baraba, it has no meaning. It doesn't indicate that any loan was paid up. Omar Birme Baraba, Omar Rav in the Gemara. Simfon hayoytze mitachas yidei malve, a receipt that's found in the possession of a lender of money. Afalpi shekosuv b'ksav yado, even though the receipt is written in the handwriting of the lender, eino elo kimesachik upasel. It's no more than a game or a joke, and it's invalid. It doesn't represent the payment of a debt. Lo mibaya kasuv b'ksav yad sofer. I don't need to tell you that it's not valid when the handwriting that appears therein is the handwriting of a scribe. The ikol lememar, there's room to easily suggest safra isramile b'kasav. This lender who ultimately needs to write out a receipt when the loan is paid up, this lender happened to chance upon a scribe who prepared for him the shover. There are many that were not capable of writing themselves. They needed the assistance. They need the services of a scribe. So he chanced upon a scribe and had a shover prepared ahead of time. So that is obvious that the symphon that's in the possession of a malve that was written by a scribe doesn't have any shovar, any receipt validity. Elo afilu kasu b'ksav yodoi posel. Even if the receipt was written in the handwriting of the lender himself, it's posel. Posel means it doesn't show that a debt was paid up. Sovar, the lender figured. You might be asking, why would a lender write up a receipt if the loan wasn't actually paid up? So here's the explanation. Sovar, he figures. Dilma misrami viosi beinashmoshes. It might just come out that the borrower is going to show up with money erev Shabbos. Beinashmoshes is a time that is sofek yom, sofek laila. It's doubtful whether Shabbos set in or not. and he's going to come with the money at Beinash Moshes for Kopar Ali and pay me and want to pay me the money. If I don't have a shover, a receipt prepared, he's not going to give me the coins. He's not going to give me the debt, the money. And at Beinash Moshes, a person at the onset of Shabbos, when it's doubtful, maybe Shabbos is already set in or not, a person's not going to write up a shtar. He's not going to write up a document, a receipt at that point. Therefore, the malveh, the lender, says, I'll write one up early, before payment was even offered. That whenever he comes to bring me coins, bring me the money, I'll have this receipt all ready for him. Even if he comes Erev Shabbos, Beinash Moshes, I'll be able to give him the receipt and get my money. In the meantime, though, the receipt found in his possession, in the lender's possession, does not indicate that the debt was paid up. We just explained how he might have had a receipt prepared ahead of time. Either if it's a sofer's handwriting, he chanced upon a sofer, it was convenient to take advantage of the sofer that he found right now. Or even if it's in his own handwriting, we have this Erev Shabbos scenario that he anticipated. The triangle that you see is explained by the Mivneh, the structural note on the side. We have it featured. Kushios al Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba, Mimukoros, questions on Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba from sources, Derayin Shah Simfon Mechayev, that the Simfon, the found receipt in the possession of the Malveh, is of legal significance. It is binding, indicating the loan was paid up. Tanan. Im yesh imoim symphonos. In our Mishnah, we learned that if there are symphonos, there are receipts. Yaseh mashiv symphonos. That which is written in the receipt is binding. The Gemara says that's not a question of Yirmiyahu. Kidomer of Safras. Rav Safras says later on, shenimtza bein shtoros kruin. Hachanami shenimtza shemotzoi bein shtoros kruin. The case featured in this Tanaic quote is a symphon found amongst torn up documents. Torn up bills of collection is itself an indication that the debt no longer exists. And the receipt in that case, when it's found together with torn up documents, that's a receipt that indicates it really, the loan was paid up. But other than that, if a malva has in his possession, if a lender has in his possession a receipt, it doesn't indicate that another kind of loan, that where the loan document has not been torn up, has been paid already. Toshma, let's try again. Another question. Nimsa li'echod bein shrosov. If a person found amongst his documents, shtoro sheYosef ben Shimon porua, the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon, has been paid up. Shtoros Shneim Pruim. Both Yosef and Shimon's Shtoros have been paid up. This source needs more explanation. So we look together at the Rashi. The Rashi we're looking at is five lines from the bottom. She Nimtza Ashtar. Let me correct myself. Just a couple lines above that, three lines above that. Nimso bein shtorosov, masisim get poshut. This is a Mishnah from Bava Basra. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon birachas. There were two people with the same name in the same town. The nimso shover liodom echod bein shtorosov. And a member of that town had a receipt amongst his documents that read, v'kosebo shtoro she Yosef ben Shimon shebiyodi poruhu. The bill of collection that would entitle me to collect from Yosef ben Shimon has been paid up. Voyalo shnei shtoros al shneim. And he had two bills of collection from the two Yosef ben Shimons. Rashi goes on, shtoros shneim purim. Remember, again, let's emphasize, he found one receipt that said that the bill of collection for that I had against Yosef ben Shimon has been paid up. Both Yosef and Shimon's documents, meaning the ability of this malva, of this lender, to collect from both of them, is no longer exists. Shekol echad yacholomar, each Yosef and Shimon can say al shelin iftav shover. The shover, the receipt, was written because of my bill of collection. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. What do we see from this? The lender found a receipt and that said that the shtar of Yosef and Shimon has been paid up. Both Yosef and Shimon's shtars are considered paid up. What does it show? It shows that the shovar is binding, though it was found in the domain of the, in the possession of the lender. Kasha on Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. The Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rav Safra, as Rav Safra said, as he says later on, Shinimsa Bein Shtoros Kruin. We're speaking about a shover found amongst torn up bills of collection. Hachanami, so to hear, in this Tanaic source, from Bava Basra, Shinimsa Bein Shtoros Kruin. It was found amongst torn up documents. Ta Shma. We cite another Tanaic source that deals with Yisoimim, the heirs, the orphans left by a lender trying to collect from the orphans of the borrower. So Yisoimim min ha-Yisoimim. So when the Yisoimim of the Malva come forward to collect, the Yisoimim of the Lova can do, they deny owing, they deny their father owing the money. Shvua shelo pokadnu abo, they swear that our father never instructed us to pay up a debt. Vishelo omar lanu abo, and father said nothing to us. Vishelo motzanu vein shtarosav shel abo shishtar ze porua, and we didn't find any receipts either. So let's go over the case. I might have said something that's inaccurate. We have Yisoimim, the heirs of a lender trying to collect from the heirs of a borrower. And in order to strengthen their claim, the heirs of the lender say that father never commanded or instructed us or informed us that the debts have been paid up. He never told us the debts were paid up. He said nothing to us. And furthermore, we didn't find amongst his documents a shovar. That's the last phrase here. Ben Shirosa Shilabu Shishtar Zepur. We didn't find a receipt amongst his bills of collection. Therefore, we have the right to collect. But what do you see from here? Had there been a shovar amongst the lender's documents, the shovar would have canceled his ability to collect. That's against Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Omar Rav Safra. So here, we've been quoting Rav Safra all along the way. Here is where he actually said his din. This is the source upon which he reacted. Shenimtso bein shtoros kruin. What the heirs of the lender would have been saying is, we didn't find a receipt amongst his torn up documents. Oh, a receipt amongst torn up documents, that would be a meaningful receipt. But a receipt, stamazoi, found just like that, without it being amongst torn up documents, that kind of receipt does not have meaning. Rather, as we explained before, he was out of convenience. He prepared a shovar ahead of time before actually being paid up. Toshma simfon shieshalov edim yiskayim b'choismov. Another question: a simfon, a receipt that has witnesses that signed upon it, yiskayim b'choismov. We take a look at Rashi to explain this. Second line from the bottom is Gan Bechosim of Kosalka Deitha. The initial thinking is, Imomar Malve Lo Nifrati. If a Malve says, I didn't get paid up my loan. Veteda Sherei Loma Sarti Liotcha. And here, you see, I have the receipt that I haven't given to you. You don't have the receipt. If you paid up the loan, you, the borrower, would get a receipt. You don't have it. Yiskayim b'choismov, alpi choismov, yiskayim, im ha-choismov me'idim shechosmuhu, en ha-malvan emon. If those that signed the receipt would testify, yeah, this, we signed the receipt, the malva would not be believed. Until there would be authentication of signatures, the malve would be believed. Because it, after all, it, the malve is producing the shovar, and he's the shovar works against his interest. He's producing it, he's showing it, and he's also saying it, it's not valid because I haven't been paid up yet. But what we see from here is that a shovar in the possession of the malve, if there is a signature verification of those witnesses that signed it, the loan is considered paid up. That is not in accordance with Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. According to Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, so what? There's verification of the signatures. The malve would still have been able to claim, well, I prepared it ahead of time and I had the witnesses sign it, so it would be ready to give to you when I would be paid. Here we see he can't claim that. If once there's authentication of signatures, that's it. The Simfon determines that the loan was paid up against Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. So he will answer, Emo Yiskayim Mei Choismov. What does that mean? We continue at the top of Daf Chof Aleph. The Shailina Lehu Lesadi. We ask witnesses, I Paru, I Lo Paru, did you see it paid up or not? And if there are, if you can't find witnesses that saw the borrower pay up the loan, the malve is believed. I simply prepared a shovar, a receipt, ahead of time, and I haven't been paid up. Toshma, again a question on Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Simfon Shieshal of Edim Kosher, a receipt that has witnesses that signed thereon. It's kosher, it's binding, it's an official receipt. The loan has been paid up. My Edim, what does the word Edim, witnesses, refer to here? Eidei Kiyum. Rashi, second line from top, Eidei Kiyum Shekosvoi Henpik. This is a court verification of the document. The Beidina Lo Mekaymi Le Elohim Kein Pora. The court would not verify the shovar unless it was actually paid up. So that is not what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba was talking about. Hochinami Mestabra, and that answer, that Hezbollah is most likely. Midekotoni Seifa, from the continuation of the source, it says, V'she'enol of Edim Posel. If there aren't Edim on it, it's not valid. The Shovar is not valid. Ma'enol of Edim. What does that mean, that there aren't witnesses on it? Ilema deleko iluyo Edim klaul. That it's a Shovar without any signatures of witnesses whatsoever. Do I need to tell you that it's not valid? That's obvious. But rather, it's a shofar that has witnesses that signed on it. What it's lacking is a court verification. We call the henpik, or what the Gemara called before, Eidei Kiyum. If it doesn't have a court verification on it, so it's possible it's not a binding shofar. And that is in line with Rav Yirmi, with what Rav Yirmi bar Abba taught. Gufa, a quote of what we just mentioned. We mentioned a Tanaic source we quote on the second line from the top. Here it is in full. Simfon Shiesh Lov Eidei Yiskayim B'Choismov. We explained before that that's a reference to a receipt that has in it a court verification. That shows that the loan has been paid up. Ein olav edim, if it doesn't have the court verification, but it has witnesses that signed on the shovar itself. V'yotze mitachas yedei shalish, and this shovar, the simfon, which is a shovar, the receipt, is in the hands of a third party. O sheyotze le'achar chitum shtoros kosher. Or the receipt was written in the loan document itself after the signatures. So you have a loan document with a receipt of the text of a receipt written underneath the signatures of the loan document. This is not a separate receipt. In these cases, the receipt is a binding receipt, and we explain. Yoytzi mitachas yidei shalish, the receipt found in the possession of a third party. Hemnei malve l'shalish, the lender himself trusted the shalish. He trusted the third party, and who writes a receipt? A lender writes a receipt, and he gave it to this third party, entrusting him with it. So it's an indication that the loan, if the shalish says that it was entrusted with me and the loan has been paid up, the shalish is believed. Rashi says this on the second narrow line of the Gemara, "V'yoytzi mitachas yedei shalish." Shein haloyve motzia velo amave, not the borrower nor the lender produces it, elo shalish she beinehem, rather an intermediary, a third party, ne'emon, he is believed. So if the shalish says the loan has been paid up, he's believed. The Gemara simply points out that you see that the malva himself trusted this shalish. Yoytzil achar chitum shtaros nami, likewise a receipt that's written in the loan document itself following the witnesses, the ilav de priya, had this loan not been paid up, lo ava meira le l'shtari, the malva wouldn't have weakened his bill of collection. So by having a bill of collection with a receipt written into it, that shows that it's a weakened document, and hence he, the malva, cannot collect with it anymore. With the help of the one above, we have completed the first parak above a metziah, praying for continued heavenly assistance to continue Mirtzah Hashem next time with the second parak Eilu Metzias. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.